Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing so smart. Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
Part of this has to do with how we perceive the general tenor of life.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, from A Views and Brews, live at the Cactus Cafe, it's the psychology of uncertainty and trauma.
One of the things we have to start with, again, if we think about this notion of prediction, if you think about most of us living the last couple of years, no matter what your political persuasion was, given that there was a significant political change in the United States, that created uncertainty for people. And so some people were more excited about that change than others, but still there was uncertainty about, we have a new president coming in, it's somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience in politics, what's going to happen? So that uncertainty of what's going to happen, that inability to predict what's going to happen, creates a certain level of anxiety. The reason that this matters from the standpoint of dealing with tragedies is that when you are in an anxious state already, you have a heightened awareness of the negative things that are going on in your environment. And of course, when you're excited by something and trying to go for something desirable, you have a heightened experience of the desirable and wonderful things that are happening. So what that means is, in a nation whose overall mood is one that is tilted towards anxiety, we have sensitivity to negative events that happen, some of which can be small negative events, but then when a significant negative event happens, like, for example, the shootings in Las Vegas, that really ends up capturing national attention. And it might anyhow, but it does so to an additional degree, just because we're now really sensitized towards these kinds of negative events.
And part of this has to do with how we perceive the general tenor of life. I was just noticing this morning, thinking about this show today, on my little iPad, there's a feed of like news things. You kind of run down this list of things about some wreck or somebody getting robbed or something. And if that's new for human species, right? I mean, we used to live in relatively small groups, and we knew what was going on because other people told us. And now we have tragedy collectors who curate tragedy and present it to us.
And pick the very best ones.
Pick the very best ones, whether they're the most horrible or the most bizarre or whatever the criterion is. They pick this stuff. And now this is coming into our perceptual fields. That gives a warped perception of what life is like. That's troubling. I mean, it's troubling in terms of well-being, and it's troubling in terms of how well I can actually put things that I experience in perspective.
That's the question. It's like, we are part of a larger species. We are part of a very small global world, and our actions influence what's going on around the world on a daily basis. So how do we remain empathetic and involved, yet stay away from the gunshot in the face stories?
Well, I mean, this brings up a phrase that comes up on, I don't know, every fourth show or something, and that is locus of control. The inability to time input that's negative creates a sense of helplessness that is debilitating, right? I mean, if you think, you know, my phone's going to buzz and I've got some news feed that's telling me some crappy thing that just happened, and that happens anytime my phone wants it to happen, or Mark Zuckerberg wants it to happen, or whatever. You know, I am not in control of that. And I now I'm left to respond to it. And I think everybody who has a sense of well-being has a sense of agency. And for, you know, people who don't throw that term around a lot, I mean, the sense that you can actually affect the world around you. Part of the recipe, if there is a recipe, of feeling less unmoored by all of this is dosing yourself on the news.
Here's where this becomes a problem, right? Now, you know, it was one thing if the only deaths you heard about, for example, were the deaths of people in your community. And if you lived in a community of 200 people, then they didn't happen that often. But now, in a world with billions of people and lots of celebrities and other things, now on a on an almost daily basis, you can be confronted by the death of somebody who you've heard of that now creates this kind of shock because someone who was part of your conceptual system has died. Or there's a storm, or there's a shooting. And the thing about these events, because they are they happen at these unpredictable intervals, the brain wants to explain them, right? Again, the brain is a prediction engine.
And, you know, I mean, I think we have to recall the fact that nervous systems, very primitive nervous systems, became brains primarily for the purpose of moving bodies around. And when it comes to physical movement, effects generally have identifiable causes. Now, our brains generalize that to everything, that everything must have a cause. And I think as we talked about it in earlier Views and Brews, and we certainly talked about this on earlier shows, we are loath to accept the reality of how much of our life experience is completely random.
Brains are designed ultimately to create movement. And so lots of the things we're talking about are in pieces of information that come into us that are motivating. And what we need to do is to use those to actually motivate actions that we believe will influence our world in a way that might actually help to give us that sense of agency. So, for example, right, the impulse to say that, you know, after a tragedy like the hurricanes in Houston or Puerto Rico, that, you know, for example, or even after the shooting in Las Vegas, there were people lining up to donate blood, right? That was an impulse in the moment. And what we need to do is to say that motivation to do things to make our corner of the world a better place, it may have been spurred by tragedy, but can we actually try to bottle a little bit of that dissatisfaction with the state of the world to use it to be motivating beyond the tragedy? I think that for those people who begin to feel that sense of helplessness in the face of this onslaught of news, use that energy because the anxiety you feel is pent-up energy. Use that energy and direct it towards something that you can continue to do even on those days when there's nothing interesting in the news at all.
Next week, it's The Psychology of Polarization with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.